yourself. God bless you. Bring it in the new year. God, isn't he? Amen. 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 Say, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. I wonder if you can just put your hands together, knowing that God is able. Say, He's able. Just think about what He's done for you this year. And just sing it out. God is able. God is able to do just what He said. He's gonna fulfill every promise. Don't give up on God, 'cause He won't. Hey, how many believe that God is able? Everything. Let's sing that one more time. Say, God is able to do. He's gonna fulfill. Don't give up on God. Cause He won't give up on you. He's able. Lift your voices and just cry to the King of Kings. Just say, He's able, say, He's able. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Lift your voices, say, oh, oh, oh. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has brought you to a New Year's Eve service, getting ready to go into a brand new year? I don't know about you, but it makes me excited to know that God saw fit to let me come through one more year. A lot of people didn't make it all the way down. They didn't even make it to January. Some people thought they were going to finish out the year, but they didn't. But God has given us the grace to be here once again. I think we should give Him a hand clap of praise for that. Oh, I think we can do better than that. I think we can give Him a hand clap of praise for that. Many a times we probably were sick or probably didn't feel well in our bodies, but God healed our bodies and then He still had us as a house to be in and also a church to worship His name. I believe that we should give Him a hand clap of praise. Psalms 100 says this. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's a good thing because he's always watching over us. Amen. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Amen. How many are glad just that his truth just endureth? Amen. And his mercy endureth. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you just for, Lord, another time that we've, Lord, gathered into your house, Lord. And tonight's a little bit more special than the other nights, Lord God, because, Lord, we're waving bye-bye to 2011, and Lord, and getting ready to enter into 2012, Lord God. And, Lord, we just want to stop, Lord, and take this moment just to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, thank you just for your mercy and your grace that you showed towards us, Lord God. Thank you for your compassion that you've, Lord, showed to us during the year, Lord God. Your faithfulness, Lord God, in each and everything, each and every test, and each and every trial, Lord God. You've been with us every step of the way, Lord God. And, Lord, no doubt that, Lord, many of us can think back on, Lord, different situations or different circumstances that we didn't know what was going to happen, Lord God. We didn't know where our strength was going to come from. But, Lord God, you stepped in and, Lord, proved yourself each and every time, Lord. And we just say thank you, Lord God, for being an awesome God. Thank you for being an on-time God, Lord. Thank you for just being an ever-present help, Lord God. Thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. Lord God, it's just flowing from our hearts that we're grateful, Lord God, that, Lord, everything that you did for us, Lord, in this year, Lord. And we look forward to, Lord, the new victories in 2012, the new tests, and also the new testimonies as well, Lord God. We ask that your hand just continue to be over your people, Lord God, and continue to watch them and strengthen them, Lord. Continue to give them the desires of their heart, Lord God. Lord, we commit this service into your hand. We ask that you just would bless Brother Nathan as he would come and, Lord, bring the word to us, Lord God. May he just bring a word to, Lord God, just help us as we reflect over 2011 and just prepare for 2012, Lord God. We give this service into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say amen. And let the church say amen. Amen. Say, I don't see I've come too far. Nobody told me that this road, I don't believe he brought me this far to lead me. I don't I've come too far from where I started from, and nobody told me Lord, you're worthy. Carried you through the year, and we want to make sure that we get these songs that really like hit the depths of your soul. And there's some songs that I know, but is there a request of a song that somebody would have the desire to hear, like, Lord, I just want to hear that song because that was my song to carry me through that test, to carry me through that trial? Does anybody have a song that they want to hear some? Well, as we would just prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. Lifted me, love lifted me. For the mic, if you would just leave us.
Thank you, Lord, for this year, Father, for where you kept and blessed us, Father. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you just continue to go with us, Father. For, Lord, we know without you, there is no us, Father. So, Lord, help us, Jesus. And, Father, as we continue to build on this foundation, Father, help us to build the right way according to your word, Father. Lord, as your prophet have paved the way, Lord, and showed us how and gave us the revelation of your word, Father. Lord, continue to anoint our eyes with the eye salve, Father. Help us to see, Lord, what you are doing in this very last hour, Father. And Lord, now as we lift this offering, we ask you to bless it, Father. Lord, bless those that give, Father. Bless those that have a heart and a desire to give. But what neighbor, Father, we pray that you bless them, Lord, with seed, Father God, to be able to participate in this offering, in this part of the service on next time. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Love lifted me when nothing else. Lifted as the smileys will prepare to come at this time.
I pray for increase. I pray for increase. I pray for increase. I pray for increase.
Increase my faith.
I pray for increase.
Oh,
I pray for increase.
Amen. Is that your prayer? Do you pray for increase? Oh, I can't hear you. Do you pray for increase? Increase in my faith. Increase in my spiritual walk. Increase in my praise. Increase in my worship. Increase in my giving. Increase in my family. I don't know about y'all, but somebody's believing for increase in their family. You got seats saved for your family, and I pray for increase. Can somebody say increase? Can somebody say increase? Say it from the bottom of your soul. I pray for increase. Increase of the Spirit of God moving in my life. Increase of the Spirit of God moving in my home. God, I pray for increase. I don't know if you come to have church. I don't know if you come to bless God with your soul. I don't know if you come to bless God with your mouth, but you should increase your praise. 2012 is going to be an increase. I pray for that increase. I pray. Hallelujah. My. Amen. Just give them another hand. Amen. As the young sisters will prepare to come at this time. Just turn to somebody and tell them, increase. Increase.
Control for
wipe away my tears. Take a broken heart and make it whole. For God, you're just that faithful,
you grateful for a faithful God. Amen. Before we move on in the service, Sister Bernice, did you have a special? She would come at this time. Let's just give her a hand clap.
With these eyes, But this Holy Ghost filter, it will let me know anything that's contrary. It's got to go. It's got to go. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast. That seemeth right, and there are things that look just like the light, but this Holy Ghost filter, it will let me know, yes it will, anything that's contrary, it's got to go. Got to go. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. Oh, down. I cast it down. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down, I cast it down. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, and anything that's contrary, it's got to go, it's got to go. God's word is a light unto my path. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, and anything, it's got to go, it's got to go. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down. It's got to go. Got to go. It's 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 got to go. Oh, anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down. Anything that tries to rise against the Word of God, I cast it down. I cast it down.
Amen. Anything that tries to rise above the Word, I cast it down. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, sickness tries to rise above the Word, but I got to cast sickness down. Worry tries to rise above, but I got to cast worry down. Anything that tries to rise above the Word, I have to cast it down. Financial difficulties, that tries to rise up, but I have to cut that giant down and tell it it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go. My depression has got to go. My worries has got to go. My trials has got to go. Any form and any spirit that's trying to take over your life or my family's life or anybody else's life, it's got to go. Just tell somebody it's got to go this year. As Brother Jack comes at this time. I cast it down. I cast it down. And try to rise against the word of God. I cast it down, yes I do, cast it down. Say, it's got to go, it's got to go, gotta go. Say, gotta go, it's got to go. Say, it's got to go, it's got to go, it's got to go. Bye bye, it's got to go. I said bye bye, it's got to go, it's got to go, come on, it's got to go, it's got to go, it's got to go. I say bye bye, it's got to go. Say bye bye, it's got to go. Say it's gotta go, it's gotta go, it's gotta go. Hey, anything that tries to rise above the word of God, I cast it down. Yes, I do. I cast it down. Everybody say, say anything that tries to rise above the word of God, I cast it down. Oh, I cast it down. Come on and give them praise. Somebody exalt the name of Jesus in this place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. There's some folk getting ready tonight to bring in the new year. And where they're going, they just not sitting down. What we call being wallflowers. They're not holding up the wall where they're going. These folk getting ready to tear up somebody's carpet. They're going to raise the roof. They're going to let off some firecrackers. They're going to shoot some guns. They're going to drink. They're going to smoke. They're going to get all messed up. Celebrating the new year. And if they can do that serving the devil, what can I do? Praising God with my right mind. I got good health and strength. Come on, God deserves my praise tonight. Hallelujah, somebody. He brought me through another year. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Somebody ought to be able to give God a great big shout tonight. Somebody ought to be able to tell him, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody, let's worship the Lord. Come on, let's praise him tonight. The song says, all I want to do is bless your name. Come on, somebody, bless your name. Think about it tonight. For all you've done, for all I want to do is give you praise. All I want to do is give you all day, and bless your holy name, and bless. Hallelujah. For the blessing Somebody, let's give them praise for all you've done. Put those hands together. All I want to do is give you praise. Yeah. Oh, all day and bless. Come on, keep those hands clapping. Hallelujah. Oh, for the blood that was shed for me alone, for the ransom you paid. Come on, somebody, to take me as your own. I'm justified by faith, standing here today. I'm saved and secured. Thank God I can say, all I want to do is bless your name, yeah. Somebody give him praise for all he's done. All I want to do. Somebody tell him thank you. I said thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me, yeah, for loving and caring for me and caring for me. Thank you, say thank you, Jesus. Oh, and bless your holy name and bless. Come on, somebody, give them praise. Put those hands together. Say thank you, thank you. Hey, thank you. Hey, for loving me and caring for me. You didn't have to do it, but you did. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And bless. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice one more time. Tell them thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you. Lord, I thank you for loving me, yeah, and caring for me. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I bless and bless your holy. In the good times, in the bad times, I bless and bless. Hey, oh, when everything seems to be going wrong in my life, I will bless. Hey, oh, you're worthy, Jesus. I say you're worthy, Jesus. I bless your holy name. Somebody bless him tonight. Somebody bless him tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, he is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my praise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I ain't gonna let no rock cry out in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'm gonna praise his name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back home. Amen. We thank the Lord for taking us safely to Zimbabwe. Amen. Allowing us to return back safely and finding everything in the state in which we left it. We appreciate the Lord for all he did for the saints here. Brother Smiley coming by to preach the word of God. Amen. To the hearts of the people. Brother Jing DeBoat coming in to preach the word of God. Brother Justin coming to play on the instrument. And Brother William, I heard you were here helping us out a little bit too. So we appreciate all of that. Amen. We thank God. And I just heard some very, very good reports for how the Lord was just blessing here in the service. And looking forward to going back and listening to the tapes to get me something to eat as well. Amen. But we just appreciate the Lord. Hope y'all had a Merry Christmas. I know you're going to have a Happy New Year because you're in the house of God. Amen. Amen. But we're just excited about what the Lord is doing. And tonight, I'm so grateful to have our precious brother Nathan Bryant, amen, from Jeffersonville, Indiana, to be here with us, amen, at this time. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he'll be with us tonight, and we've made arrangements for him to also be here in the morning, so I'm glad about it. Amen. I need that at this time, and I'm so, so happy. But he didn't come alone. I mean, we've seen Brother Nathan many a times here, but this time he brought his precious wife, Sister Rebecca, amen, and his daughter and his two sons. Amen. Hallelujah. They've come all the way from Jeffersonville in the car, and amen, just stopped, made a few stops on the road, and they mom and dad said, now we're not going to drive, but we'll meet you in Florida. Amen. But this is Brother Nathan's parents, his father, amen, Brother Bryant here, and his mother, Sister Bryant here. We thank God to have them, amen, in fellowship with us, and they're getting used to Christmas or winter in Florida. Amen. It's not like it is in Indiana. I mean, sun is shining, you know, down here, and we thank God for that. So y'all get used to it. Y'all come on down and make yourself right at home, because we'd love to have you down here. But keep them in prayer. We're just so happy. Brother Nathan, we were there fellowshipping with them just a few months ago, and many of you all know how the Lord has been leading him. We ask that you continue to keep him in prayer. 2011 has been a tremendous year for him. Amen. But you all ask for part of the church. Well, this is part of the church that's here tonight. Amen. He has a brother and his wife. Amen. They're back home. And God's just moving there upon the decision that he made here in 2011. And our prayers that God will do more in 2012. Just to encourage and strengthen their hearts. Amen. May he add to the church daily such as would be saved. Amen. That's our prayer. So we want to just let him come and have his way tonight. He's going to prepare, amen, to sing a song here, amen, with Sister Rebecca. And, you know, and I think he might have some other things in his heart, but I just want him to have his way tonight. Amen. We want God to use him just to speak to our hearts. And y'all enter in. Don't just sit and look at the preacher. Amen. Understand something. The preacher does not have the revival packed in his Bible. You are the revival. Amen. And you're going to get out of the service what you put in. Amen. I'm telling you, so make sure you enter in tonight and get everything that you have need of. If you need healing your body, God is here to bring healing to your body. If you need God to speak to your circumstance or situation, God is here to speak to that tonight. Amen. It's all up to you. Somebody got to create the right type of atmosphere. Amen. We want God to move in this place. Somebody's got to create the right type of atmosphere. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell y'all what, if y'all just looked around and saw all y'all Egyptians that done drowned. I just look back sometime and look at all the Egyptians that done drowned. You'll never see them fellas again. All the stuff you've been struggling with in 2011. You ought to look at the devil and say, I made it. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Nathan, would you come Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Let's sing it. Say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, glory was blind, but now I see. But now I see. Just softly for me, before I forget this, amen. We got a praise report from Sister Samaya King. She says, about a month ago, I lost my wallet. I prayed and asked God to help me find it. Thank God, on Christmas Day, I found my wallet. Amen. We certainly thank God for that. We were, I remember us being at school and we prayed about that. She couldn't find it. We prayed about it at school that morning. And to hear that she found it, it's something that gives faith. Something that gives faith. On our way back from the trip, amen, there in London and Zimbabwe, Brother Caleb had some real precious pictures that he took. And we got on a tri-rail to come back home just yesterday. And as we're on the tri-rail, a little something happened. And you know, my wife said, Caleb, why don't you come on down here with us? And, you know, so when he got up, he doesn't remember, but he dropped the iPod that had the pictures and everything. Just kind of dropped it. And he didn't think about it till a little bit later that, man, I dropped that iPod. When he went back looking for it, couldn't find it. So we went asking everybody on the train, anybody seen the iPod? No, I ain't seen no iPod. Now, somebody has seen this iPod. We know. We don't have us turn it upside down, you know, looking for this iPod. But I said, well, nothing we can do but commit it into the hands of the Lord. And we prayed the same prayer in Jeffersonville when we couldn't find my wife's phone. Brother Nathan prayed the prayer, said, Lord, the same God that provided, amen, for the little Indian boy, you know, Brother Brandon prayed for me, lost his ponies. The same God that provided those ponies brought it back to the Indian boy. The same God that provided for, you know, the man that lost his car at the meeting. And Brother Brandon prayed, and the man turned around and brought the car back. And so you're the same God today. I don't care who got that iPod. You can send it back to him. Amen. And if God could honor the prayer of Sister Samaya, God can honor the prayer of Brother Caleb. Amen. Amen. We believe God. Amen. It's got precious, precious memories on it. Amen. Somebody don't know what to do with that, so they ought to just send it on back. So we got our faith on the line, just believing God to send it. And here's Sister Samaya. I think it took about a month and a half before she got it back. But God honored the prayer. Amen. God never forgets. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Amen. Brother Nathan Bryan, God richly bless you.
You love him tonight? You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. Certainly an honor to be back in West Palm Beach again with my friends and to bring my family along. And Brother Jack is a very, very, very dear friend, one of my closest friends in this world. And I thank God for sending him my way. Brother Smiley was making mention of on Thursday night how that, you know, the Lord just knows how to put people together. And, you know, he knows how to send somebody along right at the time that you need them, it seems like. You know, and when you're feeling down sometimes and, oh, you just don't know, you know, how you're going to be encouraged, maybe the phone will ring. It'll be a brother or a sister just wanting to encourage you. And, you know, we find in the Bible it said that when those stones began to come together that they had prepared, that there wasn't a sound of a hammer, wasn't a sound of a saw. The stones had been prepared so perfectly that when they began to come together, there wasn't no need of any trimming off or any forming or molding. And you know, Brother Smiley comes from a different background than myself. Brother Jack comes from a different background than myself. Brother Trevor comes from a different background than all of us. You know, he came up under the Return Ministry very strongly. These brothers under the Thunders, and you know, myself there in Jeffersonville with you know, everything that would come through there. And we find that still when we came together, Brother Jack, that there wasn't no sound of a hammer or no sound of a saw, but it was just brothers of like precious faith. Because when God gives you the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what city you're from. It doesn't matter what doctrines that have been forced down your throat. When you get the Holy Ghost, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And I thank God for brothers like these brothers sitting here. Sister Cobb had asked if I'd sing this song, so I'm going to try to sing it tonight. It's an A. Where the rest of the musicians go, they can come up here and play this. It's easy. Well, I've never made a fortune. Oh, and it's probably too late now. Oh, but I'm not worried about that much. Oh, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. Lord, I'm drinking from my saucer. Oh, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Is that how you feel tonight? Well, I ain't got a lot of riches. Oh, sometimes the going's rough. But here's the important part. Oh, but I've got a friend in Jesus. So that makes me rich enough. Oh, I thank God for all His blessings on me. Oh, all the mercy He's bestowed. Now I'm drinking from my saucer. Oh, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, and my way gets deep and rough, well, I won't ask for other blessings. Oh, 'cause I'm already blessed enough. Oh, I thank God for all His blessings on me. Oh, all the mercy He's bestowed. Lord, I'm drinking from my saucer. Oh, 'cause my cup is so overflowed. No, I ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes going rough. God for these musicians, a group of young people that's devoted their lives and their talents to the glory of God. Oh, there's a lot of young ones out there tonight that's partying and getting drunk and getting high and running around with one another and living in adultery, but I thank God for a group of young people that sits here under the presence and the anointing of the Lord. Instead of being under some other anointing, they're sitting under the right kind of anointing. I'm thankful for that tonight. God bless you, musicians. God bless you. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize how privileged we are. My wife and I were going through the mall the other day and turned around and saw a little spastic child in a wheelchair. And I turned to her and I said, we don't realize how blessed that we are. Sometimes it becomes common to you. But we're very, very blessed tonight, friends. You know, if you can look around and see that you've got a roof over your head when there's saints in Haiti that don't. If you can look around and see a nice vehicle to drive when there's saints that don't. If you can look around and see your children in the right mind and in good health when there's many that would long to give, millionaires that would give all their money just to see their child in its right mind or in its right health. And we're blessed tonight. Amen. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Let's read a verse together. Brother Caleb's already almost preached my message tonight. But that song the sister was singing inspired him so much, I had to come on out. I couldn't sit back there with her singing that. And then he got anointed and started preaching my message before I even got out, hardly. You got to watch these preachers, Brother Jack. They'll do that to you. Exodus chapter 5 tonight, if you would, and at the home church there, we preached for several months on a little series that we called The Message of Deliverance, and I'm going to try to put all that into one sermon tonight, Brother Jack, so if we're here till 2 in the morning, you'll have to forgive me. No, we won't stay that late tonight with the help of the Lord, but do want to try to cover quite a bit of ground, and just on this message of deliverance, the thought of what was the message of deliverance given for? It obviously came for a purpose. So I just want to read part of this first verse of Exodus chapter 5, and it reads like this: And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word that we've read tonight, Father. We know that your word is inspired. And Lord, if you can just inspire us tonight for a little while. Lord, just help me to get myself out of the way that I can say something for a while to this group of believers, Lord, that would encourage them as we're going into another year and we're facing new battles and new struggles. Lord, if we can look back and see that you brought us through 2011, Lord, then surely we can look ahead and see and have faith and confidence that you can take us through 2012, Lord. So, Father, just anoint us tonight. Lord, anoint me, Lord, just to speak to a while, something that would help them through their year. And Lord, anoint them to receive what you would say. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Thank you, Brother Jack. God bless you. We find that we'll take Moses, first of all, since we read about him a little bit tonight, and God had given Moses a message of deliverance, and as I touched on it lightly on Thursday night, how that God had came down and had spoken to Moses, and it told him to go and deliver the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And ever since Moses was just a little child there, he had known that there was something special in his life. He had known that there was a calling on his life to do something for the Lord. And Brother Branham teaches us, and the Bible tells us, that gifts and callings are without repentance. And so sometimes, as Brother Jack came and he preached a while back for us on recognizing the potential and seeing the potential in the seed. And many times when we're looking at something, it's hard to see the potential that's in it. But I thank God that, you know, he's let, for instance, Brother Caleb, you know, first starting out when a minister's young, I know I can look back and remember a few of my first sermons, Brother Jack, some of them, I think Brother Jack said his first message was about 2 hours long, but mine was about 25 minutes. Sometimes when you're fresh, you know, you don't have a lot to say, and you get out there and you preach wide open, and you realize all of a sudden you ain't got nothing left to say. And I began to preach for my Uncle Morris. I appreciate him giving me the opportunity, you know, young, and giving somebody a chance. If you don't give somebody a chance, then they're never going to develop into anything. You know, some of these sisters that are playing the instruments up here, no doubt when they first began to play, Brother Jack probably had to just bear with them a little bit in the home and in the church, just because they were struggling to learn. But he saw that they were in a growth process, and that there was a potential there that one day that he could have them sitting here like this under the anointing of God, to where God could use them. The same thing with the minister, Brother Mai. When you first start out, Brother Bram said, babies aren't born men, they're born babies. And many times when somebody starts out, whether it be just in their spiritual walk, or if it's a gift to speak in tongues or interpret or to prophesy or whatever it would be, many times we just want to, you know, get on them because maybe they're out of order a little bit. But as I was listening to questions and answers this week in the hotel, and Brother Branham begins to explain that, you know, if they're out of order a little bit, just give them a little bit of time. If a baby begins to speak and he's not saying his words just right, and you slap him around because he's not talking just right, you'll damper that child. And you'll hurt his growth. But if you'll just let him go a little bit. He said when Billy Paul was a little boy, and he said he began to walk, he said he was falling down more than he was standing up. But he said he didn't get on him for it because he was just learning. He said now he's a grown man, and if he falls down, I tell him, pick up your feet, boy. And sometimes we've got to let somebody progress in the Lord enough, you know, give them a little bit of time. But sometimes we just want to judge a brother, maybe a young brother like this man, and he's just beginning to learn how God's dealing with him, whether it be to play an instrument or to sing or to preach or whatever it would be, and he's got a gift in his life. I believe every one of you sitting here tonight has some kind of a gift that God has ordained, some kind of a talent, whether it be to the sisters to sew or to cook for their husbands or to sing or to play music, or for the brothers to stand as a minister and preach under the anointing, or to lead songs like Brother Caleb, or to play an instrument or whatever it would be. If God placed you in the body, then he's got something in you that's going to help the body. If God placed you here, then he's got something in you. He's got a reason for bringing you here. He didn't bring you here just to sit and hide your talent like the man did in the book of Matthew, to hide it under a ground somewhere and be afraid, but he gave you to be a blessing to somebody. Oh, you say, oh, brother so-and-so, he's such a blessing to me. Brother Branham said, if you want to receive a blessing, you got to be a blessing. Oh, many of us, we want to receive a blessing. Oh, Brother Jack, come preach to me and bless me. Oh, Sister so-and-so, sing that song and bless me. But what about you? How are you blessing somebody tonight? How are you going to bless somebody tonight? So we find that Moses was this type of a man, that he felt something burning within him. We're not going to get through it tonight, Brother Jack, but we're just going to go as far as time will let us. He felt something burning within him, that he had this gift of God and a calling to be a leader. And yet with all this, he had been called, he had a calling on his life, but he hadn't been commissioned yet. And he would go, and many times maybe he would think, growing up in Pharaoh's household there, well, I'm next in line to be Pharaoh, and maybe this gift of leadership that God has placed inside of me, maybe I'll be the next leader of Egypt, and maybe I'll just step up, and once I'm the Pharaoh over Egypt, I can just say, you can go. Children of Israel, I'll let you go free. But God had it figured out a different way. Many times we think, oh, you know, maybe if I do this or I do that, God will place me in this position or that position. Maybe I'll be a deacon or a song leader or this or that. But God may have something else planned for you. He may have a different plan for your life. And sometimes the hardest thing for us to do, Brother Jack, is to yield ourselves to whatever He has for our life. Oh, many times, you know, what God had called me to do maybe wasn't something that I wanted to do. Sometimes when God lays on my heart something that I know is just going to, you know, just tear the people apart and hurt their feelings even. But when God places something on your heart, you've got to say it. Sometimes it's not fun. So Moses, knowing that, thank you, brother. Moses, knowing that he had this calling on his life, then God takes him out of Egypt and he places him on the backside of the desert and he's leading a flock there and he's the son-in-law to the Sheik of Midian, and he had all these flocks, and maybe he thought, well, maybe I'm going to just go along till old Jethro passes away and I'll take over and I'll be the leader of Midian and I'll have these crops and I'll have these flocks that I'm going to lead, and maybe that's what this leadership in me is for. But God had something else planned for him. And when God began to deal with him and to actually call him to his commission, he said, Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Oh, how's he going to do it? Is he going to give him a great army out of Syria or somewhere to go fight the greatest nation of that time? How is he going to do it? He says, what's that you got in your hand? Oh, it's just an old staff that I herd these sheep with. That's all you need. As I said Thursday night at Brother Smiley's, sometimes we're looking around for some great big something that we think we're going to do, and what God has for us to do is right in our hand the whole time. Brother Branham said when God gave you the Holy Ghost, He gave you everything you needed for your journey. Many times we want to go and we want to missionary the world, but maybe we haven't even testified to our next door neighbor. What's right there in your hand? Samson, Moses, on and on and on, Gideon, whoever it was that God would call. He didn't tell them to go out and do some great something that they had to go build a great mountain or anything like that. He just told them, take what's in your hand and go. As I was preaching on Simon Peter a little bit Thursday night, sorry for the folks in Okeechobee to hear this again, but God's leading me down this line. And Simon Peter was standing there one day, and he was out there. He was a man like us. He wasn't a wealthy man. He wasn't a highly educated man, but he was just a man that was trying to do all he could to provide for his family, and without a great intellectual line or without being a priest or anything like that to fall into an inheritance of his father, all he had to do was to be able to work with the work of his hands. And he began to go out, and maybe he had borrowed some money from the bank to buy a little boat, and he obviously owed some back taxes on that because they came after him later and the IRS was looking for some taxes. But Jesus told him to where to go get some money to pay for his taxes and Jesus's as well. And we find that, you know, Simon Peter stepped out on the boat that day, and it wasn't the angels didn't part the heavens and somebody stepped down and speak to him and say, today is the day that's going to change the rest of your life, Peter. Peter just stepped on the boat like any other day. He was tired. He maybe hadn't got good sleep the night before because the children was up all night crying. And he went out there and he got in the boat and he had to deal with those old smelly fishes and those old heavy nets. And maybe he was worn out and he was tired, but he was trying to make a living for his family. And he steps out there on the boat and he fishes all day long and doesn't catch anything. Oh, he's toiled and he's went and he's tried to do all that he knows how to do, but he didn't catch anything.
Yeah.
Many times we do the same way.
Oh,
I tried to testify to my family. I tried to do this. I tried to do that. But it feels like I haven't saved anybody. Just wait.
Yes.
Maybe the right person just hasn't stepped in the boat yet. And so we find that Jesus had needs to go across the Sea of Galilee there, and he stepped onto a boat. Now, there were no doubt many other boats on the Sea of Galilee that evening. There may have been dozens of other fishermen of that, you know, type of trade, but Jesus steps onto Peter's boat, Brother Jack. He could have stepped onto anybody's boat, but he stepped onto his boat. He could have gave anybody the message of the hour, but he brought it to your home. He ordained you to see it. He ordained you to have this revelation of this last hour. He could have stepped on anybody's boat, but he steps out on Simon Peter's boat, and he begins to talk to him. And Simon says, you know, what would you have us do, Master? And Jesus could have told him, Peter, I want you to look at the stars, and I want you to calculate where they're all placed tonight. And I want you to take a diagram of this body of water and figure the diameter of it and the square footage. And I want you to calculate that by the time and the season and the placing of the stars. And if you'll do that, it'll create an algorithm that'll show you right where the fish are. Peter would have scratched his head and said, what's an algorithm, Jesus? I don't know, I'm uneducated, I'm unlearned, I can't even hardly spell my name, but Jesus didn't tell him to do something that he was incapable of. Let me say the same thing to you tonight. Jesus won't tell you to do something that you're incapable of. If God has something for you to do, he'll provide whatever you need to do it with. And Jesus didn't tell him some big, great, mysterious thing. He just said, Peter, cast your net to the other side. And Peter had a net, and he had another side. Oh, he didn't ask him to do some great, mysterious something. He just said, take what's in your hand, and it'll bring forth whatever you have need of. Moses was commissioned to do this great thing, and it wasn't that Moses doubted that God could perform this. You know, this was a great thing that had never been done for one man to walk out with a staff and take over the greatest military force that had been. The greatest builders, even that have been to this day, that could build a pyramid and have it so that the stones were so perfectly hewn to where you couldn't put a razor blade in between them. How did they get those stones up there? How did they make all these sphinx and the different things? And this great nation had become to build all of these things, and Moses is going to go take over in a one-man invasion. Let my people go, he tells him. But even with all that, Moses didn't doubt that God could deliver his people. But Moses didn't have confidence in himself. Moses began to doubt, Lord, I'm slow of speech, and I've got a speech impediment, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got a family, and I've got land, and I've got this, I've got bills, I've got whatever it would be. I'm not a very good singer, I'm not a very good speaker, whatever it would be that would hinder you tonight. Don't let Satan hinder you with those lies. If God's telling you to do something, God will make a way. God told him to go straight across the Red Sea one time, and Moses didn't think about how he was going to get across. He just raised up his staff and started walking, and the water started parting in front of him. Don't worry about it tonight. If there's a wall in your way, just step out in faith, and the wall will be gone by the time you get there. Moses came with a message of deliverance. It was a message that was going to deliver God's people. But we find that the very message that was sent to be a message of mercy and a message of deliverance to some people became a message of judgment to others. The very message that Moses was coming to say, let my people go, became a message to Pharaoh that began to kill his flocks and to bring pestilence and plagues and even kill the very firstborn throughout the whole land. Oh, it was supposed to be a message of deliverance, but when it was rejected, it became a message of judgment. Amen. Noah stood one time. Brother Branham said he was just a humble farmer. And God gives him a diagram and tells him, build this ark. And he begins to cut this wood. And God doesn't tell him to use a great big oak or something like that, but he begins to use gopher wood. And in those days, you know, maybe if there had been any boats for the water that was on the land, they might have laughed at him at the material that he chose to use. And my, if any material is going to float, it's not going to be that. It's just going to sink right to the bottom. But God told him to pitch it on the outside and pitch it on the inside. Oh, that would preach a while tonight, Brother Jack. Oh, some people want to get it on the inside, but they don't want to conform the outside. They still want to wear their clothes so that men will lust after them, or they want to smoke their cigarettes or do their drugs or whatever, and oh, they claim to be a Christian. Oh, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but they haven't pitched the outside of the boat yet. Let me tell you, friends, if you haven't pitched the outside of the boat, it's not going to withstand the waters. Oh, and then many others, they come with a legalistic attitude. I have my hair long and I have my skirts long to the floor and enough temper to fight a buzzsaw. Oh, they've pitched the outside, but they forgot the most important thing. They forgot to pitch the inside. Oh, my, you got to pitch it on both sides. That's fresh, Brother Jack. I'll preach that at home. And we find that, you know, they begin to pitch this on the inside and on the outside. And we find that he begins to come and to preach for 120 years. And I like how Brother Trevor said it one time. He said he came out and he said, I'm going to preach on God sending the rain. Maybe he preached on that for a few months. And he said, I'm going to come out and I'm going to change my title a little bit. Get in the boat. Oh, he changed the title a little bit, but it was still the same message of deliverance. And Noah would come out there and he would preach and he would preach and he looked around Brother Jack and he was building a huge boat, huge enough for all of his friends and all of his family. And so he had a burden in his heart and he would preach his heart out because he was building a boat that was large enough for everybody he knew to go on the,
Go on the floods with them. Come on, God. God has got this burden on my heart. Come on, everybody. Get in. There's plenty of room. And he preached and he preached and he preached. And only his family came, and they were just attending his services, and he would begin to preach harder and have more of a burden, and a few visitors would come by and make fun of him, and he would stand there and look at the ark and look at the size and think, God, you've got to deliver somebody. I don't care if they make fun of me. I just want them to get in the ark and get to safety. I just want them to get in the boat. Many times we look at what brother so-and-so's doing or what brother so-and-so's saying. I don't care what they're doing or what they're saying. Let's just get them in the boat. We want them to conform to our doctrine and our way of thinking, but let's just get them in the boat first and let God conform their ways. Amen? And he had this burden on his heart for the rest of his family and for the rest of his friends. And he would go out there day after day and he'd preach, get on the boat, a flood's coming. And they would look at him and laugh and say, it's never rained before. Oh, they would look at him and say, my, a pillar of fire come and hang over a man. I've never seen anything like that before. They would say, my, seven seals being revealed. I don't know about that. I don't know about these trumpets and these thunders and all these things that you talk about. It's all just a book of symbols to me. Well, maybe you just haven't looked and read it in the right light through the eyes of a prophet yet. And they would begin to look at him and to make fun of him and to scorn what he was saying. And he would preach and he would preach. And he got tireder and he got older. And he would look around and maybe he would question, God, why are we building this when it seems like nobody's accepting it? But it was to preserve life. In Joseph's day, you know, all that happened to him, all those trials and all those tribulations, and they had put him in prison, and they had pretended that he was dead, and my, they'd sold him as a slave, and a woman had tried to say that he tried to have an affair with her when he really tried to get away from her, but her just having a passion for him tried to ruin his ministry, and he was put into prison, and you know, he told a man the vision that he saw, and he got his freedom and said that he'd tell Pharaoh about Joseph, but he left him sitting there, and all this kept transpiring, and Joseph could have looked around at his circumstances and said, God, I don't understand. You have this calling on my life. I've got this gift of being a prophet. I see visions. I can interpret dreams. And here I sit in prison. How are you going to use me in prison? He could have got very down and discouraged looking at the circumstance. But when we look at the story from the other side, we realize it was all done to preserve life. It was done to preserve life so that he could be at the right place at the right time to tell Pharaoh, there's a famine coming. Let me tell you tonight, friends, there's a famine in the land, not for food and for water, but for hearing the word of God. There's people that are starving out here, and they go to this cult and to that cult. Brother Branham said, starving children will eat from a garbage can. Oh, they're starving to hear the word of God. And you wonder, God, why did you let me lose this job? Why did you lead me down here? Why did you let this happen? Maybe God's just putting you in the right place so that you can tell somebody there's food in the time of famine. Let me tell you tonight, there's food in the time of famine. And it was done to preserve life. So was it in the days of Noah. My, he was building a boat that he thought would be able to contain everybody he knew. But he didn't realize he was building it for a bunch of animals that was going to come on the boat. And one day God led all these animals up to him and he shut the door. And Noah began to realize this wasn't for everybody I was preaching to all along. Maybe God just had me build it this big to keep me encouraged and to keep my faith that somebody else would come in. But it was just done to preserve life. And God had sent a message of deliverance through him, but it became a message of judgment to those that rejected it. Brother Branham says this in Escape Hither, Come Quickly. He says, every time the messengers that went forth brought a message of love, grace, and deliverance, God's message has always been a message of deliverance before judgment. Noah had deliverance. Lot had deliverance. And though it was a message of deliverance, the people turns it down. It's mercy and deliverance, and the people turn it down. He says, I want you to notice in the days of Lot, that's the reason he said, I believe the church will go before any missile ever hits the earth to explode it. He says, did you ever notice what the angel said? I can't do nothing till you come hither. What was it? It was a message of deliverance. And before one speck of fire could fall from heaven, Lot had to get out of Sodom. And before one drop of rain fell from heaven, Noah went into the ark. And before the atom bomb can strike this nation, the church will go in the rapture to meet the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. There was a group of people one time that they were down in Egypt and God had sent a message of deliverance and they had accepted it. And they came out of Egypt and they walked in the wilderness and they had accepted this message of deliverance. But then when it came to the journey, they began to grumble and to complain. And even when it came time to where God had told them that they were going over to a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and he began to tell them all the things that they were going to have and all the things that they were going to possess, when it came time to accept that God sent a prophet, they were okay with that. When it came time to come out of their denominational systems, out of Egypt, out of bondage, and into the journey, they were able to accept that. But when it came time for him to say, go and possess your land, oh, that involves me now. I've just been following God sent a prophet, but now I got to step out and do something. I don't know about this. And they begin to doubt, and they begin to question, and they begin to say, well, I don't know if I can do it. Let me tell you, we've got a right to possess our land tonight. We're living so far below our means. We're living so far below what God has given us. But yet we just sit, you know, and we wander around in the journey. And we wander around and around and around. Because we can have confidence in the prophet. And we can have confidence in God. But when it comes to confidence to ourselves, going out and possessing the land, we begin to question. And there were 12 of them that went out there that were spies, Brother Jack. And they went over there into the land. And 10 of them came back with a report. And they said, the giants are over there and they make us look like grasshoppers. Two of them came back and they were looking at the size of the giants, Brother Smiley. But 10 of them did. But two of them came back and they were looking at the size of the grapes. Two of them said, oh, they're so big, there's no way we can defeat them. And two of them said, taste these grapes. Have you ever seen such big grapes? All 10 of them said, you know, we'll never be able to make it without our denominational systems. We'll never be able to go on without our old traditions and our old dogmas and our old creeds. We'll never be able to go on into the perfecting of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's too hard. It's too much. It's too this. It's too that. But two of them turned around and said, oh, but have you seen the size of the grapes? Have you seen some of these quotes? Have you seen the revelation that I'm carrying on my back? Have you seen this revelation that came out of Canaan's land to us? Oh, they weren't worried about the giants. They were worried about possessing the land. Oh, my, they thought, my, if I start eating some of those grapes, I might be that big myself. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to talk about a few things that this message of deliverance came to deliver us from. Let's start with verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. My, we wonder sometimes, why is this taking place? Why is that taking place? Oh, it's easy for us. My, Brother Jack, it was probably very easy for Jonah to look around in the belly of the whale. Brother Branham said, there's nobody here tonight that's under the conditions that he was in. There's nobody that has those symptoms. My, he sat there in the whale's belly, and if he looked to the left, it was whale's belly. If he looked to the right, it was whale's belly. Up, down, in front, in back, wherever he looked, it was nothing but whale's belly. But he said, but I won't fail to look towards your holy mountain. And to pray to that holy, he prayed towards that holy temple. Right. Brother Branham said that he had even confidence in the prayer of a man that backslid. Many of us can't have confidence in the bride of Jesus Christ. I feel so sorry for people today that don't have no confidence in nobody. They don't have no confidence in the ministry. Don't have no confidence in the song leader. Don't have no confidence in their brothers and their sisters. My, I feel sorry for them. God gave us one another to get us through this journey. I need you and you need me more than ever. Many members, but one body. Oh, why did Brother so-and-so say this about me? Why did they do it this way? Why did they do it this way? Why did this bill have to come at this certain time? Why did the boss have to say that to me today and make me look bad in front of the rest of the guys? And why did you know, the teacher have to say that about me because I was a Christian and maybe fail my grade because I believe in creation instead of evolution? And why did this and that? And why are these trials being placed upon me? Don't count it any strange thing. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call us? I love this quote from Spoken Word as the original seed. He says, someone came the other day, said somebody said something bad about me and accusing me of something that was wrong. And I said, oh, forget it. Oh, my, somebody accused us of something wrong. We're going to go call them up, Brother Jack, and have a showdown at high noon. Meet me out in the street, Jack. Heard a preacher brother say that he was preaching somewhere and he got done preaching that night and they went around to the back of the church or went around to the front of the church to fellowship and the guy said, you know what we do with preachers like you? He said, we take them out back. And he said, well, let's go, Jack. Put up his fist. He was ready for it. I like what Brother Branham said, quoting the man there, if I must fight to win the prize, give me courage, Lord. Yeah, said the old boy was setting up his tent there, whatever it was, preparing for the meeting, and that biggest boy in town came in there and said, if you're going to have a meeting, then you got to whip me first. And he just rolled up his sleeves and he said, well, let's just go ahead and take care of that then.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I think the man got saved that night. Oh, but if he would have ran and been a coward, he probably wouldn't have had much confidence in him. But somebody with the backbone. Oh, my, the people in Laodicea, they aren't looking for somebody with a wishbone or a yellow streak down their back. They're looking for somebody with backbone. They're looking for somebody that'll stand up, and when they take the name of the Lord in vain, you'll stand up and say, that's my Lord you're talking about. When you say Jesus Christ and you're not asking him for something, that's my Lord that you're talking about. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? He said, oh, forget it. Said, how can you take it like that? That involves your family. Amen. I said, oh, my. I said, that was predestinated before the foundation of the world to give me a trial. I said, oh, my. Sure, so that's all right. Said, how do you do it? I said, if I looked right down this way, I'd be falling all the time. My, if we always just looked at the criticism, somebody criticizing. I liked what Brother Jack said when he was there with us. He said, you know, people don't throw things at a tree that ain't got fruit on it.
Right. Amen.
Oh, but if they see a tree that's bearing fruit, they want to throw something and knock that fruit down to get some of it. My, if somebody's throwing rocks at you tonight, you must be bearing a little bit of fruit.
Yes,
old Buddy Robinson talked about beating a dead religion. People, you know, want to run us down on what we believe down so much. And oh my, if it's a dead religion, then why are they so concerned about it, Brother Jack? If it's dead, just leave it alone. It's dead. Oh, but they keep beating that dead religion. They think it's dead. Oh, but they know that it's got some life in it that's going to pull some of their congregation away from their old formal dogmatic ways, the cigarette-smoking pastors and oh my. I love to read quotes from Abraham Lincoln. He was a very intelligent man. He had a lot of intelligent things to say. And I like this quote here. This is good for the pastors. I think, you know, sometime I'm going to tack this up on my wall as, you know, so that people can read it if they're concerned about anything. But he says, Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, if I were to try to read, much less answer, all the attacks made on me, this shop might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know how. The very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so until the end. Listen to this. He says, if the end brings me out all right, what's said against me won't amount to anything. And if the end brings me out wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right won't make a difference. Something to think about. Oh, if everybody's criticizing you and running you down and saying you're crazy and lost your mind, if you're right, then it don't matter. No matter what they criticize, you're going to turn out all right in the end. And if you are wrong, then no matter how many people say, oh, he's a good old boy and pat you on the back, 10,000 angels swearing that you were right ain't going to matter if you turned out wrong in the end. I like this quote from the Ark. He says, don't be scared. God's driving the winds. God's driving the Ark. He has all things provided. Why, Noah wouldn't have any victories if there wouldn't have been any storms and trials. Many times we wonder, God, why have you placed this on me? Why have you let this sickness come? Why have you let this debt come? Why have you let that come? Why have you let this one turn against me and that one turn against me? You know, Jesus said that he wouldn't give us anything greater than we could bear. He wouldn't put anything greater on us than we could bear. And when you begin to see trials and tribulations, just remember that it's nothing that hasn't been common to other man, that somebody else hasn't walked through or somebody else hasn't fought. You might think tonight, oh, I'm going through something that nobody else has gone through. Trust me, that same spirit, whatever you're fighting tonight, whether it's sickness, whether it's lust, whether it's debt, whether it's something that you're smoking or drinking or drugs or whatever it would be, alcohol, anything that you're fighting tonight, somebody else has fought that same spirit. Somebody else has gone through it, and either they fell to it and just gave up and quit the battle, or either they went on through the other side victorious. There's only two things in the world, and that's doubt and faith. Yeah. Either you doubt or either you have faith.
Amen.
Oh my, we get so worked up and so discouraged, but if God placed a trial on you, then that should just prove to you tonight that God has confidence in you. Because he said he wouldn't give you any more than you could bear. So if you feel like you're just going through something tonight like you've never gone through before, that means God has more confidence in you than he ever had before. Oh, Brother Nathan, I've never seen anything like 2011. I've never seen the economy in such a bad shape. I've never seen so many sick. I've never seen so many pastors fall. I've never seen so many churches split. God's testing you to see what you'll do about it. And he's allowing it to happen because he's got confidence in you that you'll come out all right. Hear ye him, 1957, he says, it's your character, your conduct that gives God confidence in you. Victory Day, 1963, says, when looks like everything has gone wrong, God has given you a trial. He's got confidence in you. He don't have to baby you around. You're not a hotbed plant, a hybrid. You're a real Christian. God is giving you a test to see what you'll do about it. The church age book, he says, character is a victory, not a gift. He says, a man without character can't reign because power without character is satanic. Oh man, you just give a little child all the power in the world and my, they'd run right through you, run right over top of you. If they threw a little temper fit, my, they'd just punch their fist right through your face. You can't give somebody that small that hasn't been trained and hasn't got some character built that much power. My, I wouldn't turn my little four-year-old boy back there loose with a submachine gun because I know I love him, but he hasn't got enough character to be able to handle that responsibility yet. And God, when you're going through a trial or when you're going through something, you know, I love him, and when he gets 16, God help me, I'll probably buy him a car. But I'm not ready to turn him loose behind the wheel of my Suburban just yet.
Right.
Why? Because I know that, you know, no matter how good of a little boy he is, and no matter how much I love him, he hasn't come to a place yet where he's ready for that responsibility.
Right.
There has to be a character and something that's molded in him to be able to handle that type of responsibility. Many people you see, oh my, they just never have a trial. Well, maybe God can't trust them with very much. Maybe they're not ready for that type of responsibility yet. Or maybe you feel like you're serving God the very best you know how. And maybe your neighbor sits over there and, you know, smokes and drinks and does a little prescription drugs on the side more than they should. Borrow somebody else's Laura tabs and chews them up a little bit too often or whatever they would do. You know, and they you know, get their little highs here and there however they can. And you know, they just live any kind of old life, sleep around with the next door neighbor or whatever, and seems like they never have any trials. Well, sure. Satan's already got them where he wants them. But when God sat there and he had a conversation with Satan, can you imagine? Job was sitting there. Job didn't know that God was having a conversation up in heaven about him. He was sitting there and he was just trying to do the best that he could, Brother Smiley. He was trying to live the very best. He knew there wasn't even a Bible yet in Job's day, but he would look and he would see God in nature, and he would see that as the flower and the tree dies and they come up again, but man dies and he goes to the dust, and where is he? And he was looking for a resurrection, and God began to reveal to him that his Redeemer was going to live again, and he would stand on the earth and see him in the flesh, and he began to see all these revelations, and he was sitting there, and God had set him up pretty nicely. He had a nice home, had a nice family, had some nice crops, probably had a good retirement fund. And he was sitting there, and my Satan came along and started to talk to God and said, "Oh, sure, old Job trusts you. You've given him everything, handed him everything you could give him." And they began to have a conversation, and God asked Satan, "Where you been, old Satan?" And he said, "Oh, I've been wandering up and down, to and fro upon the earth. Oh, I've just been looking for something I could get in trouble about." A lot of those spirits are out there tonight. They're just trying to find some trouble tonight. Oh, and it's New Year's Eve. They'll probably find a lot of trouble to get into. Oh, they're just roaming to and fro, trying to find who they can get to fall into an adultery or into a drug addiction or into a habit or whatever it would be. And he says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? There's not one like him on the earth." Job didn't know that. Job didn't know. Job didn't look around with a stuffed shirt and say, "There's nobody like me on the rest face of the earth. I'm the greatest Christian on the face of the earth." Job didn't have that feeling. Job was just doing all that he knew, all that he could see in nature, all that he could see in type. He would go and make a sacrifice, not just for himself, but he applied the token for his family. And he said, "Oh, pre-adventure, they're out here doing something at this party tonight that they shouldn't be doing. I want to sacrifice for them. I'm concerned about them, and I want to do something for them. I want to stay up all night and pray for them." And he had a burden on his heart for his children. God, give us more parents like that tonight. And God begins to talk to Satan and to tell him there's no one like him on the face of the earth. And Satan says, "Just give him to me a while." And he says, "Take everything you want but his life. He'll still stand and confess me." Oh, it got to the place where he took away his children. He took away his crops. Took away his health. And there he sat scraping boils. And Job had some real good friends, Brother Jack. He had some good message buddies that came along and said, "I knew you was a secret sinner all the time. Oh, God wouldn't give you that tuberculosis or that cancer or made you lose your job or whatever it would be if you was a real Christian. I knew you was a secret sinner, Job." But Job said, "Oh, no. I've done all that I know to do. Oh, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord." And he stood true in the time of trial. He stood true there no matter what they threw at him, no matter what Satan took away from him. His wife said, "Finally, Job, just curse God to his face and die. Get it over with." He said, "Oh, you speak like a foolish woman." Oh, he wouldn't back down no matter who it was, no matter what it was. And God began to have this conversation about him. And God had so much confidence in him that he said, "You place anything on him you want, just don't take his life." Oh, sometimes we might feel like that. "God's placing sickness on me. He took my job away from him. He took my family away from me. He took my house away from me," whatever it would be. "Oh my, I'm just struggling. And you know, the pastor this and the church split, and we're going through this and that and this and that. I just don't understand. My best friend fell away and you know, he's doing this and she's doing that. And I just don't understand why everything's happening." God has confidence in you. God could stand in Job and have confidence in him. He knew he had enough character that no matter what Satan threw in his way. Amen. Oh, Brother Branham said, "Show me a man that'll put God first in everything that he does, and I'll show you a man that'll be successful no matter what Satan puts in his way." He says in this little sermon, if you're ever discouraged and you're just going through a trial and you don't know why and you just really need an uplifting, listen to this little sermon called "I Know" in 1960. He says, "And why does God let troubles come?" He said, "God harnesses trouble, put bits in its mouth and makes it obey Him. And those troubles bring us closer into the fellowship of God." Have you ever gone through something that really, I know my little boy back here, when he was young, both of them had different things that they were sick with. And my, when they would get to a spot where they were really sick, it would just drive me to my knees to cry out to God and to seek Him and to pray. And even though we were going through a trial in our family, He brought us out the other side closer to Him. Oh, maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost your health. Whatever it is, God's going to bring you out the other side and you're going to be closer to Him. Hallelujah. God's just taking that trouble and He's putting bits in its mouth and He's telling it, "You can go this far, but I'm going to control you and tell you where to stop. Don't take his life till I'm done with him." Satan can't take you till God's ready for you to go. Have confidence in Him tonight. No matter what trial you're going through, have confidence in God tonight. He's the one that's controlling it. God didn't send an evil spirit. God's not an evil spirit that's plaguing you, but God will permit maybe an evil spirit to just have a little bit of rain to bring you back into closer fellowship with Him. He said those troubles bring us into a closer fellowship with God. He said there'd been no rainbow till the flood came. But after Noah was pressed into that condition he was in to float 40 days and 40 nights in a storm and the little ark pitching up and down in the water, and was after the flood was over, he saw the rainbow for its first time, the covenant of hope, the covenant of promise. And he went through the tribulation when he saw the promise. That's the way you see the promise after you've gone through the tribulation. He says, I've liked that poem or psalm. Must I be carried home to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others fight to win the prize or sail through bloody seas? We ask for comfort and peace, he says. God gives us the best he could give us, trials and tribulations. That's better than comfort and peace. Our comfort lies just beyond the river. Oh, we ask for comfort and peace, and God gives us trials. You say, why would he do that, Brother Nathan? He's got confidence in you, and he knows that you'll be able to withstand it. Not only that, but he's going to bring you out the other side closer to him than you were when you entered that trial. You say, Brother Nathan, 2011 was so dark, you know, and dismal, and things in politics, and things in the nation, and things with the economy, and this and that, but God brought us through it closer to him than we were when we went into it. I'm a lot closer to God by the grace of God than I was when I went into 2011. Oh my. Came to deliver us from our trials, this message of deliverance. This message of deliverance came to deliver us from our fears. The Bible says the words fear not 62 times. 62 times. Fear not, fear not. Fear not Abram, fear not Hagar, fear not Jacob. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, you don't have to turn to it, but it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like this quote in Expectation. He says, now fear has no valuation in it, none whatever. It's perfectly endless. It hasn't got one good thing about it. If I was to be shot in the morning and going to be shot, what good would it do to have fear? What good would it do me? You say, well, what good would faith do you? He says, faith could deliver me, but fear won't help me a bit. You just get yourself all worked up and more nervous than ever when it comes time for the gun to fire, so let's have faith. Faith could deliver me, but if it doesn't, what good would fear do anyhow? Just stay right with faith and hold on to it. Take God's promise and remain with God. Oh, so many of us are so afraid of so many things today. We've got hypochondriacs and different things that they're afraid they're getting sick all the time. You be careful. You might speak that sickness into existence. Let me tell you a story about some unintentional hypochondriacs one time. There were some men that they were going to Brother Branham's meetings, and they knew that he had a gift of discernment to call out the different things in people's life, and they wrote on a prayer card one time all the things that they said they had. Cancer, tuberculosis, kidney troubles, whatever it was, 5 different major diseases that they wrote on this prayer card, and they walked up there and stood in the line, and Brother Branham looked at him and he said, there's nothing wrong with you. And he says, oh yes, there is. Get the card and look at it. I've got all kinds of things. He says, well, you might have, but you don't have anything wrong with you now. Maybe you were hit. Oh, no, go get the card and look at it. And he thought, what's going on here? And he looked around, and God showed him through a vision that these people had sat down and planned this out ahead of time to try to trick him. But when they all walked away, they had everything they'd wrote on the card. They spoke it into existence. Oh, I don't want to speak a disease into existence, Brother Jack. I want to speak it out of existence. You say, oh, you know, many times we'll get something, a little old spot on our face or something. Oh, I think it's going to be cancerous, Brother Jack. There's this black spot on my face. Sister, that's just a freckle. Yeah. Amen. Don't claim those things. Don't speak something negative all the time. Be speaking something positive. He healed me. He saved me. But no, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I don't feel saved today at all. Didn't ask you, did you feel it? He asked you if you believed it. There's many times I get out of bed and I don't feel like doing a lot of things, Brother Jack, but, you know, we just got to go on and press on anyhow. Oh, not always looking at the negative, but always look to the positive. He saved us. He gave us good health. He gave us deliverance. He gave us children and families and loved ones. We've got so much to be thankful for. Why are you looking at the negative all the time? Oh, there's so much to be positive about. We got freedom of religion still in this country. When there's many that they can't even have a Bible or have these books and tapes that we're privileged to hear. Oh, but we're afraid of everything, afraid of this. We watch the news and we get all scared every time any little nation does anything. Oh, my, did you hear so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and this government took over this and this government took over that and earthquakes in diverse places and Matthew 24 all over. God's got it all under control. Rest, little bride, rest. All you're going to do is give yourself an ulcer. Came to deliver us from oppression. Oppression, to oppress is a verb. It's to burden with cruel or unjust impositions or restraints. To weigh down as sleep or weariness does. To put down, subdue, or suppress. To press upon or against. To crush. Brother Branham says you're controlled by two elements. Either you believe or you do not believe. Let's take unbelief and see what it does. It creates worry. It brings oppression. It can't help you at all. There's no value in unbelief at all. Say if you were going to be shot in the morning, he goes through the same story about, you know, how faith could deliver him. He says there's no value in unbelief. All the value there is in faith. Believe God's word. Take him at his word. He says the devil likes to work on you and oppress you. You know, that's a trick of the devil to oppress. But when the Christian knows his legal rights, when you can quote God's word, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee, that takes all the oppression away and the clouds clear back. Oh, many times we get so downtrodden and Satan's doing this and Satan's doing that. But look around and see what God's doing sometimes. He says, you say, I got the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham. I ain't got no demons. He says, I don't say demon possession. It's demon oppression. You see Satan in the flesh, not Satan in the spirit. Many times, if you get away from God a little bit, God will allow Satan to come against you and attack you a little bit to bring you back under subjection to the Word. There was a man named Legion one time. We were talking about him at the dinner table today. he told his wife a lie one time, and then it began to build and build and build, and it began something, you know, to where something got around him to where it was more demons and more demons, and he began to play with this and play with that until he was so demon-possessed that he would hang out in the graveyards, and they would chain him, and he would break those chains, and whatever he would do, you know, he was so oppressed. But, you know, he had to make things right. He had to come into his right mind before he could be delivered of that oppression. He heard the name of Jesus one time, and he began to get deliverance from those things. Let me try to find a quote here real quick that goes along with that. He's referring to, I don't have it here in front of me, but he's talking about the little lady that went down, and the Methodist Sunday school teacher and her husband was a deacon, and she went down and she began to talk to him, and she was so nervous and would get all worked up, and every time he'd go she'd go to do anything, she was scared to leave the house, scared to do this, scared to do that, just totally oppressed and totally living in fear and in bondage and so scared and so worried all the time. And he began to sit and talk to her, and he said, was you ever with a blonde-haired man in a little red sports car? And he begins to see that they were almost in a train wreck and all these different things. And when her husband was off in the war, she had an affair with this other man, and she had pushed it so far back in her subconscious, and she had asked God to forgive her for it, but he said, you didn't sin against God, you sinned against your husband, and until you go and make that thing right, Satan won't leave because he has a right to stay there. He had a right to stay there. He had a right to oppress her, Brother Jack, because she was living in something that she hadn't made right yet. And until she made it right, he said, all the psychiatrists couldn't have pulled it out of her. All the doctors couldn't have gave her enough medicine to pull her out of it, because Satan had a right to stay right there until she made it right. Oh, how many of us are oppressed by things because something that we're too stubborn to go make right? Go apologize to somebody for something that we said maybe years ago or whatever it would be. Oh, we get so stubborn, that stubborn spirit will get you. I'm too stubborn to go down and repent of my sins. I'm too stubborn to stand up and testify in church. I'm too stubborn to go down and get baptized. Well, you might find yourself in a stubborn hell one day. Came to deliver us from sickness. He says, think on things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. And he begins to talk about a farmer, that the farmer would come and let the, you know, he said he had these nice crops and the crows would come and try to roost. And he said, you can't keep them from flying over. But he said the old farmer got a double-barrel shotgun. He said, you can keep them from roosting. Sometimes when you got those negative thoughts or those lustful thoughts or whatever kind of thoughts that Satan's trying to push on you, oh, you might not be able to keep him from swarming them around you, but you can keep them from roosting. Get that double-barrel shotgun of the word, Old Testament, New Testament together, and quote the word to him, and he'll stand back. Hebrews 3:1 says that he's the high priest of our confession, of our profession. Hebrews 4:14 says, let us hold fast our profession. Brother Branham says, and show us the Father in 1959, he says, God will make your body obey your confession. Seeing he's the high priest of our confession, before you can be healed, you have to confess it first. You have to believe that you're healed. And when you believe you're healed, God makes your body obey your confession. Oh my, you say, Brother Nathan, I'm afraid I'll bring a negative testimony if I say that I'm healed and then I'm not. Well, that's just as good as Satan wants. We talked about Mary on Thursday night. Maybe we'll talk about her some more tomorrow. How that, you know, she didn't go out and she didn't wait till she began to show, Brother Jack. She didn't wait till she began to feel the baby kick. But as soon as the angel came and told her that she was going to have a baby, she went immediately and began to confess it. Oh, if you claim your healing, don't be afraid. Go immediately and confess it. And he'll make your body come under subjection to your confession. He says, when this growth is dead, it shrinks. Talking about like a cancer or a tumor inside of somebody. When that demon spirit, that life, he says, it's a life inside of you. It's another life form that's living off a dead mass or something in your body where a bruise or something has broken off in your body. And then that cancerous life gets into that. And it's actually a living cell inside of you. And when you get prayed for, when you accept your healing and the life goes out of that, then that mass is still in your body, the actual flesh or the tumor or the bruise or whatever it would be. And he says, when this growth is dead, it shrinks. The patient rejoices. Oh, how happy in a few days they find themselves worse off than they was in the first place. So any of you brothers that have ever hunted or ever hit something dead on the road, my, you hit it, and my, the first few hours it maybe shrinks a little bit, but then after about 72 hours you come back and my, that alligator's three times as big as it was, because it begins to swell and it begins to stink and it begins to get contaminated. And all, we know about that, don't we, Brother Jack? We passed one on the way back from Okeechobee once, and I got out to take some pictures and about killed them all with the smell. Oh, I'd been there for a few days, and it wasn't a pretty sight. But my, you know, they begin to, the body begins to swell because the life has gone out of it, and that flesh just begins to swell up and the heat and things. And it's the same thing with a tumor or whatever it is. If you're healed and the life goes out of it, then before it goes away and before the bloodstream can purify it, it begins to swell again. You get prayed for and you accept healing for your vision, and you know, that little stigmatism or whatever it is begins to shrink, and oh my, you get to see better. But then before you know it, it begins to grow again a little bit, and oh, I guess I lost my healing, Brother Jack. I can't see as good as I could before. That's the best sign that you're healed. The patient rejoices. Oh, how happy. In a few days, they find themselves worse off than they was in the first place. Oh, you say, well, I guess I lost my healing. And just as sure as faith taking it away, unbelief resurrects it again. Then it's really on the move. But when you get sick about 72 hours, you're supposed to be a dead ball of flesh in your body. What purifies? The blood. The heart purifies the blood. The heart pumps it. Cause infection, causes a fever and everything, because it's taking that dead cells all around in your body, purifying it. And after 72 hours, you've been prayed for with cancer, tumor, or anything, you begin to get real sick and a high fever. He says that's one of the best signs in the world that you're healed. He says, see, your faith is not what you feel. Your faith is what you believe. If you really believe it, I don't care how you feel, you'd never, never say you wasn't healed. You'd always believe it. Oh, can you imagine old Abraham out there, Brother Jack? Oh, he was almost 100 years old, and God tells him, you're going to have a son. Oh, 10 years go by, 15 years go by, 20 years go by. My, if he would have looked at his feelings, he probably felt a lot worse than he did. Oh, but then he began to have a body change. Something began to take place inside of him. Oh, but sometimes we don't want to wait for that. We look at our symptoms. Well, I'm not any better off than I was last week. Come on. He says, now it's a strange thing that this is so much the thought of people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. He says, that's just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then, see? You mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing with all my heart? Let your testimony always and your thoughts and everything never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. And when it starts, don't entertain it. He goes on down. He says, God can only bless you as you confess that he's done for you. Let's touch on one more thing that he delivered us from with this message of deliverance. Let's talk about temptation for a little bit. Genesis chapter 3 was the first great temptation that we find in the Bible. And the serpent came unto Eve, and he was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And he began to talk to her about some worldly wisdom and began to tell her that if she would just follow this train of knowledge a little bit, that he could make her as wise as God and that she could begin to see things and that God had said this and God had said that. But he began to interpret it a little bit and say, well, he didn't really mean it that way, though. You know, the scriptures say that, but, you know, we've got these new translations now, Brother Jack, and they don't really say it that way. And, you know, really, you know, there where it talks about the men coming out and knowing them, and when it comes to talks about them changing their natural affections and lusting after one another and things like that, the men after the men and the women after the women in Romans chapter 1, it doesn't really mean that. That's not really talking about homosexuals. Oh my. And they begin to water it down. And, you know, we don't want to offend the Jews. We don't want to offend the Catholics. We don't want to offend the homosexuals. We don't want to offend this one. We don't want to offend that one. If the Word of God offends them, then bless God, let them be offended. We live in such a politically correct world that, you know, we want our Bible even not to offend anybody. We want our sermons not to offend anybody. Oh, we were talking about old Joel Osteen the other night and how he's got 40,000 people. Well, if I never offended anybody, I could probably get a pretty good crowd too, but I wasn't called to that. You know, maybe he was called to that. Maybe he's getting some in that we couldn't get, Brother Jack. But you know, I believe that if you preach a message that doesn't offend nobody, then how are you ever going to get anybody convicted enough to get down to an altar and get really wrung out and saved? Sometimes somebody's got to stand and tell us that we're a dirty old hog, but that we were ordained to be a sheep, and it's just this nature on us that God's got to change our nature. Because that first nature of Adam, you know, that we were given after the fall, we were given a nature that, you know, lusts after the lust of the flesh and wants to drink and wants to smoke and wants to get high and wants to go commit adultery. But when you got that nature changed and it wants to go to church and it wants to testify and it wants to share somebody the good news, wants to encourage somebody, wants to sing a song to try to lift somebody up. My, what a difference. They're trying to out-preach me over there, but they're not doing a very good job. So we find that Eve was presented with this temptation, and because she fell to the temptation, and because she let herself compromise on the world, on the word that man began to fall into sin, and that God had to send someone to take away this sin barrier from us, and that they would come up with an annual sacrifice, and they would bring the sheep and the goats, and they would make a sacrifice, but the blood of bulls and goats wasn't enough to cleanse men from all their sins. And so there had to be a permanent sacrifice given. There had to be a sinless one to come and to rid us of our sins. And so we find that God decides to come not in a great magnificent way of stepping out on a throne and walking down the corridors of heaven to Caiaphas's house and with 10,000 angels, but he comes, as we've all been through it recently, I'm sure, around the Christmas time, he comes as a little baby. And he comes very humble. And it was so humble that the majority of the people looked right over top of it and they didn't recognize it. They didn't recognize the dispensation changed to Son of Man. And so when they missed this dispensation change, they begin to see that we see that this little baby came and he begins to grow, and it's the fullness of the Godhead bodily and dwelling in flesh, and he begins to go out, and once he's baptized on the River Jordan there, because he said we must do this to fulfill all righteousness, he goes out and he begins to be tempted. This very one, even though he was sinless, even though he could not sin, yet Satan could still tempt him in his flesh. And he comes at him in St. Luke chapter 4 and he begins to tempt him. And the very first thing that he tempts him with is the desire of the flesh. Not to lust after a woman or not some evil thing, but just because he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and he's hungry. And his flesh hungers, and it wasn't something that was ungodly. It was something that God had given him. You know, him being God himself had placed in the human body something to hunger, something to thirst, to keep us alive. Because if we don't eat and if we don't drink, we'll perish. But Satan was trying to use that very hunger that God had placed in him against himself and to tempt him to say, why don't you take up these stones and create bread? And he began to tempt him along these ways. began to tempt him with his own flesh, that he had found a weak spot, that he was weak in his flesh. He was tired. He was hungry, and he began to attack him at that time. That's when Satan will attack you. That's when he attacked Esau. Esau had come in. He'd been hunting. He was tired. He was hungry. And Jacob said, just give me that birthright, brother. Oh, and he fell for it. Why? Because he was wore down, and he was tempted, and he was tried, and he fell to the temptation. Brother Branham says in Serves We Would See Jesus, he says, we realize that unbelief is the original sin. The original sin is unbelief, and really the only sin to doubt. If you do anything, you know, smoking, drinking, committing adultery, whatever it is, those things aren't sin. You do those things because you disbelieve. It's an attribute of sin. It's something you're doing it because you're a sinner. Oh, he says, but don't punch at it. He says, if Satan's coming at you in the countdown here, he says, don't punch at it. Punch a snake. Just keep saying, I rebuke you, I rebuke you. He says, he'll bite you, see? Just ignore him. Walk away from him. So he's defeated anyhow. There you are. Just don't punch at him. Say, oh, Lord, I rebuke him, rebuke him. Uh-huh. Don't do that. See, you're weakening what you really believe, see? You believe or you don't come up. If you come up, then believe and let it settle it. That's all of it. Just stand right there and say it's over. That's all. That's got it. We find that Jesus, when Satan came at him, he tempted him several different ways. He tempted him with hunger. He tempted him to give him the power over all the nations right then, even though it was his to take eventually. Yet Satan still is ruling over the governments and everything until he comes and sits as the King of David. And he began to tempt him to worship him, to try to worship, you know, somebody else beside God. And he comes and he tempts him all these different ways because Satan didn't really realize who he was yet. Let me tell you tonight, Satan may not have really realized who you are yet. But he's going to keep pushing you and keep pushing you to find out if there's really something real there or not. Your neighbor may not have found out who you really are yet. And they'll keep testing you and saying little things to see if they can really prove if you're a real Christian or not. Like that man that went down, you know, he said, they said, oh, there's no real Christians anymore. The old drunks did on the bar stool there. And he said, I know where one's at. I'll take you to her. And he brought him down to his house there, and his wife was in there. And he said, fix us some breakfast. And she began to cook and make the eggs there. And he slammed them down on the floor and said, you know, I don't like my eggs that way. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. And just went about her business. And they went out on the back porch there. And he said, just wait a minute. And she began to sob and sing, you know, must I be carried to heaven on a flowery bed of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? And they looked at one another and said, that's a real Christian. There's something real. They recognized something genuine in that woman. And she led them all to Christ that night. Why? The world is looking for something genuine. They've seen so much hypocrisy, so much fake, so much trash out here under the name of Christianity that they're looking and they're longing to see if there's something real still left out here in Laodicea. They're longing for it. Oh, so when they try you and they talk bad about you and all this, just remember, they may just be testing you to see if they're still a real Christian out here. But we find Jesus, when Satan came at him, Jesus could have said anything. He could have spoke him into a different area. He could have came at him with 10,000 angels and fought him. He could have rebuked him and told him, don't say another word. He could have did whatever he wanted to, but he didn't use any of his great powers. He didn't use any of his great gifts, but he just began to quote the word to him. He began to say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He began to say that, you know, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when Satan began to attack him, he just gave the word back to him. That's how we can overcome Satan every time. The little song says, when temptations round you gather, just breathe that holy name in prayer. 1 Corinthians 10:11 to 13 talks about a way of escape, that whether there's a temptation given, there's also a way of escape given. And when we're tempted with whatever it would be, smoking, drinking, lust, whatever it would be, anything that you're fighting, you women to cut your hair or to wear your skirts too short or to display yourself too much to man to make him lust after you. Amen. Oh, I like what Brother Branham says in God in This Evil Age. He says, do you mean to tell me that God would dress his daughter in such a way to make his son lust after her, to send them both to hell? He said, don't lay that on my God. Hallelujah. It's sad to say, but that would preach in a lot of message churches. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He says, in Evening Messenger, he says, today in my motel there laid a mother out there with not enough clothes on to wad a musket. I saw one in my motel tonight, Brother Jack. They were going out to their parties to go out to New Year's, and this old woman, bless her heart, lot of flabbiness and, you know, hanging out here and there and didn't look like nothing attractive that should be dressed in that way. Oh, my. Some of them will make you lust and some of them will make you puke. But my, she really thought she was something, probably about 60, 70-year-old woman, just all, you know, pushed in there and hanging out and, oh, my, demon-possessed and doesn't realize it. He says there laid a mother out there with not enough clothes on to wad a musket shotgun and her husband laying out there the same way and that cold wind. They think their body is so pretty they have to show it. Don't you realize that's the devil? That's right, stripping their clothes, only the insane does that. Legion did it because he was crazy. He says, notice, and we have that, but that's called style. That's called modern. We call it the devil. I got the Bible to prove that it's the devil. It's devil possession, demon possession, not oppression, he says, like we talked about earlier, not oppression, possession. He's got you. That's right. Tell them about it. They'll blow up. They want nothing to do with it. No, sir. They got their own ideas because they're at their morgue. They never go to. The morgue they go to, they never rebuke it. Sex appeal is practiced in the schools and in the churches, and pastors are afraid to rebuke it. It's very seldom anything. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, now a pilgrim that's on his road to heaven, he lives in a different atmosphere. You don't have to worry about him looking at her. He'll turn his head if he's got God in his heart, for he's living in an atmosphere that's a million miles away from those things. That's right. You don't want to be guilty of that stuff at the day of the judgment, so he turns his head and say, God, have mercy on that woman. And on he goes. We're in a journey. We're on our way to Canaan's land, and we're on our way to eternal and blissful rest that God has given us. And in the journey, we're tempted. We're tempted in all kinds of things, but yet be tempted without sinning. To be tempted without sinning. Oh, I like the quote Brother Jackie says, that I'm so glad that a man can live so close to God that Satan doesn't know what to do with him. I want to live that close to him tonight that Satan doesn't even know what to do with me anymore. Oh, he sends this at you. He sends that at you. He tempts you with this. He tempts you with trials. He tempts you with failure. He tempts you with job loss. He tempts you with debts. He tempts you with filthy dressed women out here. He tempts you with cigarettes or whatever it would be, but yet tempted without sinning. Oh, to where Satan doesn't even know what to do with you. Let me talk to you real quick about the Holy Ghost and we'll go. He says, now when you get the dynamics, you've been quickened from mortal to immortality. It makes your whole body come subject to the Word. It'll make you act different, look different, live different. It'll just make you different. I like this quote, Brother Jack. You'll like this. He says, worshiping in the Spirit and in the truth. Mechanics and dynamics together. You see what I mean? If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken you, make you alive. Your mortal body's because it's already life. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Subject to what? The Word of God. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you start to stray here and you start to stray there, it'll bring that body back subject to the Word of God. If you start to fall into sickness, it'll bring you back and say, I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. If you fall into oppression, it'll come back and say that Jesus was sent to the oppressed. If you fall into fear, it'll send back and say, he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of truth. If you fall into this and into that, it'll bring you back to the Word and say, don't stray from the Word, just stay behind the Word. Oh, it'll bring your body under subjection to the Word. And if Satan throws sickness at you, throw it right back at him. He said that it'll make your body, God will make your body obey your confession. Don't go around with an old negative confession and say, I'm sick, I'm lost, I'm this, I'm that. But say, praise God, glory to God, I'm healed, I'm saved, I'm separated, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and keep pressing on. He sent us a message of deliverance. Don't let it be a message of judgment to you tonight, but accept it as a message of deliverance to deliver us from these things, to deliver us from oppression, to deliver us from fear, to deliver us from temptation, to deliver us from trials, whatever it would be that we're going through. It'll make your body come subject to the Word. Let's just stand tonight. Musicians, if you'd come. Happy New Year. Are you thankful that he sent us a message of deliverance? Something to deliver us from these things. Something that no matter, you know, when we get discouraged, when we get depressed, when we get whatever it is, that we can just look into the Word and find comfort in the pages of the Word of God. To find that, you know, sometimes we get discouraged and we don't know why this is happening, why that's happening, but just stand back and give Satan the Word. If whatever he's fighting you with, find a scripture that'll testify to you about it, and then let your body start becoming subject to that Word. Do you love him tonight? Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what was said here tonight, Lord. You know that most of it wasn't me, Lord, but it was just you leading me. Father, may it touch hearts here tonight. May those that came, Lord, may you bless them for being here instead of out in the bars or the, oh, Lord, the places of entertainment or wherever they could have been, Lord, to celebrate the new year, but to come into church, into an atmosphere to worship God, Lord, as the church name says, in spirit, and not only in spirit, but in truth, Lord. We thank you for the truth. And Lord, we thank you that many, Lord, have so much of a worked up spirit, but they don't have much truth. And then we look around and we find that many around the message have the truth, but they're scared to get into the spirit, it seems like, Father. But I thank you for a little church where we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Just be with each one, Lord. Anoint them, Lord. Touch them. Bless them, Lord. Draw us all closer to you this year than we've ever been. Protect them as they drive home, Lord, and be with us in all that we do. Oh, may it be pleasing to you, Lord. We fail you so many times, but help us this year, Lord, to serve you more than we ever have. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just worship him a moment. He's worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be praised. I can't think of a better way to bring in the new year than worshiping the Lord. Amen, amen. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Well, I've been singing, I've been shouting, since I laid my burdens down. Well, I've been singing, I've been shouting, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the new time, praise him. Won't you praise him? Oh, praise him when the sun goes down. Well, sometimes I feel like heaven comes down. Sometimes I feel like heaven comes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven comes down. Heaven comes down on me. And I want to praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him. Praise him when the sun goes down. Well, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around me, Jesus.
walk around.
Oh, walk around me, Jesus. Walk around. Oh, walk around my bedside now. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down.
Can you think of a better way to bring in the New Year's than worshiping the Lord?
Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, say this little light of mine. Well, this little light of mine, let it shine. Come on, one more time. Oh, this little light of mine, yeah, this little light of mine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, let it shine. Oh, bless that wonderful name of, come on and bless that wonderful name of. Oh, bless that wonderful name of, no other, come on, hey. Bless that wonderful name up. Oh, bless that wonderful name up. Yeah, bless that wonderful name up. No other. Hey, bless that wonderful name up. Come on and bless that wonderful name up. Come on, bless that wonderful name up. No other. Yeah, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. See, there is, oh yeah, oh, in the precious blood. Everybody say, there is a wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on now, there is, hey, oh, in the precious blood. Come on one more time, hey, there is, yeah, oh, oh, in the blood, well, of the Lamb. See, there is, hey, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Somebody worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Before we leave tonight, I just want you to think back through 2011 about just one thing that God might have delivered you from. Maybe there was an accident. Maybe there was a sickness. Whatever it was that was in you, that you went through this year, that you know God brought you through, and there was nobody else but God. Let's just stop and give him praise for it right now. Come on, give him praise. Just think about it. Whatever it was that he did for you this year. Oh, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You delivered me, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up this song of worship? Just thanking him for bringing us through 2011 into 2012. Tonight we're not laying in a hospital bed, but we're in the house of God. Our families are here. Oh, we got something to praise him for. Hallelujah. Come on, say, thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your voice to heaven tonight and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, and I just want to thank you, Lord. You know why? Because you brought me out. Say, you brought me out. Come on, you brought me out. Say, you brought me out. God, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You brought me out. Oh, yeah. Hey. You brought me out, oh, and I want to thank you, Lord. Come on, you've been so good, say, you've been so good. You've been better to me than I could be to myself, Jesus. You've been so good. Hey, you've been so good. Yeah, yes, you have. Oh, and I thank you, Lord. Oh, one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to go old school. It says like this. I just want, yes, to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say, for all you've done for me. Anybody know that? Say it again. Say, I just want, hallelujah, to take a little time. To take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, yeah. For all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, oh. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. Yeah, I just want to thank you, yeah. Come on, I just want to thank you. Say, I just want, one more time, I want to thank you. Say, I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. I want to take a little time right now to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you've been so good.
They've been better to us than we could be to ourselves. We look back on 2011, Lord, and we see all the things that you have delivered us from. As your servant brought the word of God tonight, Lord, you delivered us from fear. Hallelujah. You delivered us from oppression. You delivered us from sickness. You delivered us from temptations. You delivered us from trials. You delivered us from tribulation and distress, God. Father, you have delivered us from so many things, and we just give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. Father, you've given us peace in our mind and in our circumstances and our situations. Hallelujah. Lord, we're grateful tonight. Amen. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. When we just think about all that you have done for us, amen, it's nobody but you, Lord. It's nobody but you. God, we're grateful tonight. We ask, Lord, that you just continue, amen, to strengthen us. We realize as we cross over to 2012, we are closer today to the coming of the Lord than we were last year. Help us to be prepared. Help us to have our hearts right with you, God. Lord, to be ready to meet you, Father. We don't know. This could be the year. Lord, we just want to be ready, oh God. Hallelujah, Father. We pray that as we start this year off with a praise, God, may we also carry it right on through the year, Father. Amen. This same praise. We realize that we've made it through some trials, and there'll be other trials that we'll have to face. But the same God that gave us victory in 2011 is the same God that will give us victory in 2012. No matter what it is that we face, no matter what it is that we go through, Father, you have specially designed these things. Amen. Just to prove yourself in our situations. God, we believe your word. We believe that you'll bring us through. Bless your servant, God, as he, amen, brought the word to our hearts tonight. We just appreciate all that was shared. The message of deliverance. If we can just think right now on the things that you have delivered us from. God, I know some people standing here tonight that shouldn't be here. The devil tried to wipe them out. The devil tried to take them out. But Lord, you were a hedge of protection. You covered us, God. Even when we didn't deserve it, you still covered us. God, you opened doors that we couldn't see. You made ways out of no ways. God, you paid bills that we could not pay. You were faithful, God, when we were unfaithful. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, you've been more than we could ever ask of you, Lord Jesus. God, we're grateful tonight. Father, we thank you for bringing us into this new year. Amen. And we vow, Lord, to serve you, to praise you, to love you more than we did the year before. Help us, Lord, to uphold that, Father, is our prayer. We're careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Find somebody to greet and say Happy New Year to you. Go out your way. Find somebody to greet and say Happy New Year. And thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, tell them Happy New Year. Oh, for all you've done for me. Yeah. I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, hey, for all you've done for me. Hey, I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. You've done for me. Oh, say, I just want to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Hey, yeah, I just want, oh, to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Well, I just wanna take this time right now and thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, for all you've done. Well, I just wanna take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. Oh, for all you've done for me. Hey, everybody say, I just want, hey, to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. Oh, for all you've done for me. Hey, I just want, oh, to take a little time right now. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Jesus. Oh, for all you've done for me. Come on, sing with all your heart. Yeah, I just want, yeah, to take a little time right now and thank you, Lord. Oh, for all you've done for me. Yeah, I just want, yeah, to take a little time. Oh, and thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, one more time. Thank you, Lord. Say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want, say, I just want, hey, I just want to thank. Say, I just want to thank. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Give me Psalm 66 and verse 8. Just a scripture as we read. We'll close the service tonight. We wish everyone a happy new year. Amen. And we just thank God for the message here tonight. Just the entire service. And I see, amen, just saw Sister Keisha, so good to see her tonight. Amen. Brother Ryan and amen and his family, and also Sister Caprice and her family. Amen. So good to see them all tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, just thank God for all the saints from Bible Truth Tabernacle that came out to fellowship with us on tonight. Amen. I tell you, it's just no better thing to do, amen, on New Year's Eve than to go into the house of God and just give God praise. Amen. And I thought the message was very appropriate tonight, a message of deliverance. If you just think back, Some of y'all should have been dead. But God spared you. God spared you. God kept you. Amen. And you owe God. Amen. You owe God. We all owe God. We owe him more than what we've been giving him. And it's time for us to pay up. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, you got to pay up. You got to pay up. Amen. But we just thank the Lord. Give me a Psalm 66 and verse 8. The Bible says here, O bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Amen. God is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Every trial, every tribulation, amen, he brought us through. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for it. It's 12:30, a little bit later. And we're not going to hold you any longer. We'll be back in service in the morning at 10:30. I know we usually have prayer at 7, but for tomorrow morning, we won't have the prayer service. We'll just come back for service at 10:30. Brother Nathan will be speaking again for us in the morning, and we look forward to that. And I got a challenge this year, amen, for my younger people. I got a challenge that I want to give to you all. I was just thinking on this just the other day. Every time I see mother come to church, and mama just don't come to church, mama come and get into the service. Amen. I got a challenge. Every time y'all see mama stand saying amen to the word of God, I want to see all the young people standing. Every time mama get up, I want to see you getting up. And I'm going to need y'all brothers to help me. If you see a young person sit down, get up, up, up. Mama's up. You got to get up. Every time you see that. Because my Lord has blessed mama to see 80-something years on this earth. And if she can come to the house of God and get into the service of God, then y'all young people, y'all can't sit in 2012. Somebody going to learn how to praise God around here. And if you don't even feel like getting up, get up anyway. Just because you got strength in your body to rise, get up. Because you don't know what it takes for mama to get up out of that seat. She have to work herself up. Gotta pull and get up. And she have to go through all that. And you can just jump up. I want you to just jump up. I'm challenging y'all. Amen. And I'm watching. You know, you got to be careful. I see people start at the front row and start moving closer and closer to the back. That's a sign. You don't do that. Don't do that. That's a sign. You know, they say that the further you move back, eventually you move out. Huh? So I want y'all to stay up here, stay real close to the fire. Amen. Stay real close to the fire. So, amen. I'm challenging y'all. 2012, we're going to do things a little different. We want everybody, amen, to get into the spirit of the Lord. So when y'all see mama up, y'all get up. And I have a feeling she's going to try to get up a little bit more just to see some of y'all get up. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. It's time to praise God with everything we got. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And even if you hear her say amen, I better hear you saying amen. You hear mama say amen. Amen. I want to hear it. I want to hear it coming out your mouth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mama done challenged all y'all. Praise the Lord. We thank God for her. We certainly appreciate Mother Tillman and amen. God just watching over and keeping her. And amen. The devil try to give her a little sickness. She give it right back to the devil. Amen. And she just keep pressing on. She ain't going nowhere. Amen. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. She ain't going nowhere but to the closet. Amen. To get some more clothes. Praise the Lord anyway. We just love mama. We love mama. And ain't nothing wrong with her. She look nice every time she come to the house of God. She looked like she going to church. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to show y'all a few things. I'm telling you, boy, that's all right. We just love her. Mother Whitfolk, God bless you. So good to have you with us tonight. Amen. We just appreciate the Lord and all that he's done for you in 2011. He got great things for you in 2012. Just keep holding on. Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer and we'll dismiss you. Father, we just thank you tonight for all that has happened in this place. God, we ask for traveling mercies now as we leave here, going our respective ways, especially those saints that have to travel so far, going to Okeechobee and to Clewiston. Lord, we just pray that you just give them protection. Thank you for them pressing out. And so many, Lord, that probably could have been in service tonight, but Father, whatever the reason is, you know all about it. I pray that you just bless them and give them a happy new year as well. And God, help us all, Father, just come to a place, Lord, we just tighten it up a little bit. Lord, we get a little bit more desperate about the things of God. Lord, help us not just to continue, Father, just take advantage of your grace and your mercy that you've extended to us. But Lord, let us be mindful of it and to serve you, Lord God, with everything we have. Father, this was a year, Lord, of victory for many. It's also a year of trial for some, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen those. You know what they're going through right now and what they're feeling. And God, you know all about it. But you came to bring deliverance. And I pray that each one would experience the power of your deliverance, God, as it was preached tonight. Amen, by your servant. Pray that you would just watch over us and bless, amen, us as we leave now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. Happy New Year.